Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Series 3 of Lol Science. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a totally drug-resistant form of tuberculosis that has struck the Indian city of Mumbai. We'll also talk about graphene and its useful properties, as well as a vaporizing exoplanet. Hello and welcome back to Lol Science. Today I'm joined by Andrew.
Hello.
And to start off, we're going to be talking about TB, tuberculosis, and a totally drug-resistant strain of it that has had an outbreak in the city of Mumbai in India.
The main problem with this at the moment is that Mumbai is such a dense city. It can spread very easily. And, it sounds offensive, but it hasn't got the best sewage methods ever, so it's easy to spread than ever, really.
Yeah, and India isn't, although it's quite rich, it's got a large amount of poverty, and Mumbai especially.
India is the world's second most populated country, just after China.
Yeah.
It's right next to, so it spreads very easily as well.
Yeah, so we got many problems with Mumbai. It's one of the most densely populated cities, and certainly one of the most densely populated cities in India. It's the fourth most populous city on the planet, and it's within a country which has poor medical systems. So even if a new drug could be used to treat this particular strain of TB,
you just wouldn't treat everyone.
Well, yeah, it's unlikely that they would have enough money.
Treat a select few.
Yeah. So I'll give you a bit of a background on this. So this isn't the first time TB has caused some problems for humanity. So to give you an insight of how TB's adapted, and how we've adapted to TB over the years, we'd have to start in 1854, where the first modern TB sanctuary opens in Eastern Europe.
Then, not long after, the bacterium Mycobacterium tuberculosis, which causes TB, was found.
And in 1944, the first TB-killing drug was discovered and identified in soil fungus.
Then, in 1952, the launch of a current first-line anti-TB drug was launched.
And in 1959, a second phase of this drug, much more stronger, was made.
But then, in the late 1980s, TB fights back. Multi-drug-resistant TB emerges, resistant to the current drugs.
And in 2006, the first cases of extensively drug-resistant, which is XDR TB, was discovered, and they were resistant to both the first line and second line of drugs. 53 patients died in South Africa because of this resistant strain.
But this isn't the first time we've seen cases of totally drug-resistant TB. Back in 2007, TB was reported in Italy.
And in 2009, a second report of TDR TB was reported in Iran, where 15 patients were infected. Now, in comparison with India, you may think, what's the problem? It's happened before and it's been okay. But you see, the problem in India is much more severe. It's happened in a much more densely populated area, unlike rural places in Iran. Now, the problem with this case is it could spread worldwide easily. It could eventually even dominate the planet and infect millions, maybe even billions of people.
All you have to do is look in a history book and you can see how bad TB was before we started to cure it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've cured it so many times. We are going to have real trouble finding a new vaccine against this.
I know, and in its current state, we're almost living in medieval times. We have no drugs that can treat it. It's just as bad as it was hundreds of years ago, before 1854, where the first modern TB.
Possibly even worse, because you would have other diseases as well, which would also become resistant.
Yeah, and times have changed in terms of transport, infrastructure, accessibility. It could spread much more rapidly than before, and it could cause a real problem.
It could be in England, America, or Europe now, for all we know.
Yeah, this is quite a serious issue.
But what people need to remember is that it doesn't always kill. As we saw, only 12 people in India yet have been infected with it, but only 3 of those have died. Still, you don't want it.
No, certainly. It's got quite a high mortality rate. But there are ways to stop it. We could quarantine the people, and they are being treated, and they are off-section from the rest of the city. So they're trying to tackle it so they can't spread it. However, in India, it's difficult for some things to be fully safe and fully secured. So there is still a threat and still a problem, but I wouldn't worry about it yet. Okay, our first news article this week is about graphene. It's a kind of miracle material that has many properties, and many useful properties to be more precise, and its applications are really expansive. But before we go into the details, we may as well explain what graphene is. You see, it's a form of carbon that exists as a sheet, but it's a very, very thin sheet. It's just one atom thick, which means it can have some special properties. And in addition to this, the atoms are arranged in a two-dimensional honeycomb structure, which again aids to its weird properties.
The identification of graphene was announced back in October 2004. The amazing thing about graphene is that it's about 100 times stronger than steel and conducts electricity better than copper. Now, about 1% of graphene is mixed into plastics and could help turn them into electrical conductors.
So as you can see, at first glance, graphene has many properties. It can be used as a conductor, it can be used as a strong material. In fact, as we said, it's 100 times stronger than steel. And as we're about to go on now, another property that we've discovered from graphene is that it's a very, very good absorber of light.
So what you're saying is, graphene is the new solar panel material?
Well, effectively, because recently physicists in the EU have calculated that graphene, which, as we said, is a layer of carbon just one atom thick, could be used to create a perfect absorber of light, but only if it's doped and patterned in a periodic array, kind of like droplets of water against the window or dots on a piece of paper. It has to have the perfect pattern in order to work.
So what could this work do to improve the light detection devices?
Well, this arrangement of graphene could lead to the improved light detection devices, as you said. So it could be used for improvement in cameras, video cameras, mobile phones. It has many properties, but in addition to this, it could help with solar panels, and they absorb, because they're so much better at absorbing light, it has a higher efficiency.
So what you're saying is graphene can now not only give us more energy from our solar panels, but improve the quality of YouTube videos.
Yeah, and the claim is rather extraordinary, because conventional materials normally need thousands of atoms in order to absorb light completely. So this graphene, just one atom thick, can absorb it completely. So that's 1,000 times thinner. So if you incorporate that on a large scale, you can save large amounts of space, and in a solar panel, for example, they could be much more flexible, much more thin, much more adaptable, and cheaper.
So how does it do it, really? How does the doping of electrodes in solar panels work?
Well, it needs to be in this particular pattern, and it needs to be in this particular array, and because graphene's in this special honeycomb shape, we don't entirely know why, because it's very new research, but because of its shape, because of its structure, because of its unique properties, it can really absorb light perfectly. But you see, this isn't the only use for graphene. I mean, more recently it's been used to separate liquids and gases. But what's amazing about this is it blocks liquids, blocks gases, but lets water through. I mean, water's a liquid, but this special property of it allows it to distill alcohol.
So basically what you're saying is graphene can improve solar panels, mobile phones, cameras, and now it can help distill alcohol. What more does it need to do, really?
I mean, as we say, it's a conductor, it's thin, it's lightweight, it can distill alcohol, it can absorb light. It has many, many uses. And another use of it, which is kind of good in the modern age, because we're running out of silicon, and silicon isn't becoming as useful as it once was with the need for more and more microchips. So you see, graphene could be the new silicon. It could be in mobile phones, it could be in processors. Although it's not as good now, once we perfect it and once we adapt it, it could really be perfect. Okay, this next news story is about a small, rocky exoplanet that's being vaporised by its sun because of the intense pressures and heat. Now, before I continue, I may as well explain what an exoplanet is. An exoplanet is effectively any planet which is outside of our own solar system, be it a huge gas giant like Jupiter, or a small rocky planet, similar in size to Mercury. Now this particular exoplanet is far away in an alien solar system, and it's a small rocky planet, about the size of Mercury, which is feeling the heat of its own star as it's expanding, and is vaporising from a solid world into gas before our very own eyes.
So could this sort of thing happen to Earth one day?
Well, that's the thing. People think this is foreshadowing perhaps a future event on in our own solar system. As our sun expands, it may vaporise planets. But we think Earth is too far away for this to happen. It's more likely that the fate of Earth will be because of the sun exploding, opposed to being vaporised. However, there are some planets in our solar system which may be at risk. Most likely is Mercury because of its small size and also its close proximity to our own sun. And as our sun expands, it's likely that that will be vaporised, and perhaps that is the fate of Mercury.
But surely this isn't the only strange phenomena out there in the universe. Surely there's more.
I mean, this recent sighting just adds to a long list of strange things we've seen. I mean, recent findings suggest that there's planets made out of 100% diamond, or some planets which are orbiting backwards or inside out or invertly orbiting. I mean, these are called improbable exoplanets, which we think are unusual. So, there really is some variation. There's quite wacky things in the universe still to find.
Because we haven't really been looking that intensely for long. If you think about the age of man,
yeah.
It's only recently we started looking up at the stars and thinking, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been able to even detect an exoplanet for about 2 decades. And small exoplanets are incredibly hard to detect, and only in the past few years have we really been able to witness any of these. So if after looking at only a few small exoplanets we see events like this, perhaps this is really suggesting how many bizarre and unusual things are happening in our universe, and may not be as simple as we once thought.
Basically, the further we go, the further we are to finding the extraterrestrial life, but also the more we are closing to find these strange phenomena, which could change what we believe in the law of the physics.
Potentially. And if we see these strange events like planets being vaporized by their own star, or planets made out of diamond, then you may think, well, why shouldn't there be other planets with weird and complex life forms which are doing strange and bizarre things as well? I mean, it adds to the probability in a way. If there's so much variation in the universe, so much differentiation, so much changes are happening, and so many and so frequently, perhaps it's almost certain that there's some kind of life or some strange event that we can't quite witness.
I mean, stars are being born every day throughout the universe. We can only detect a small amount of them. I mean, we've been sending out radio signals for what seems like an age, but we've barely scratched the surface of the universe.
Yeah. And I'd also like to add that we have actually seen some gas planets being vaporised before, but not in a similar way. I mean, their gas seemed to just spread out rather than actually be burnt to smithereens. But now we're seeing rocky planets which can have weird effects as well. And they seem to have some kind of like trail as they're being vaporised, kind of like perhaps a shooting star or a comet. It really is like a visual spectacular, and although it is the death of a planet, it's rather beautiful and it shows what our universe can create, and really, it's rather amazing.
Like the story of life, everything has a beginning and an end.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Just gives us a little insight into what might happen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Law Science. Next episode, we'll be talking about the implications of green energy on our environment, and how sustainable they actually are. You can show your appreciation by following us on Twitter @LawScience, or visit us on our blog at www.law-science.blogspot.com. Our next episode will be in a fortnight from now, so look forward to them. Thank you for listening.